Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. So glad you tuned in today. Happy Friday to you. Hope you've had a great week and you're looking forward to a great weekend. Well, I'm excited, so excited about today's show. I'm joined in studio by author and speaker Dee Breston. You know, she's been on the program several times before. She's been a favorite of yours as we've talked about her book, Idle Lies. And we're talking today about that a little bit more, but even so as it relates to the Christmas season. We'll get her on in just a moment, but a couple of quick announcements. First, a huge, huge thank you to you. Thank you so much for the way that you joined us in this week's Winter Share as we wrapped up this year. We are overwhelmed by your love and your support, overwhelmed by the faithful friends who come back time and time again, and overwhelmed by the new friends who joined our family in the last couple of days. You helped us reach our goal, and we are pressing on. We're almost fully funded. We are a listener-supported ministry. We're excited about what God is doing. The ministry is growing by leaps and bounds. Thanks to Jesus, thanks to a leader in Dick. He's a visionary leader. He's a man of great faith. And then thanks to you, because you said, count me in. I want to be a part of reaching the lost for the sake of Jesus Christ. So just thank you. It's just such an honor to partner with you in ministry. And I can't say thank you enough. If I could give you each a hug, I absolutely would. The second announcement is just a reminder, the great giveaway is in full force here. Next Wednesday is our day where we call in and we share. I'm sending you on a mini mission trip, okay? And I'm asking you, do the best thing you can with $15. Now, we just pick $15 out of the air. If you only have $5, that's great. If you don't have anything to give and you have to make something, do that. But the idea is, go on a mini mission trip. Do a random act of kindness for someone in need, someone especially who maybe can't pay you back. You know, make a pie for a shut-in neighbor. Donate some food to the local food shelf. Get in line with somebody at the store and pay for them. Surprise them. But do it because you love Jesus. And this is so fun because we'll dedicate next Wednesday, which just happens to be someone's birthday. Mine, but I'm a little too old to get excited about it. But I can't think of a better way to spend my birthday than to hear how you reached out and blessed the least of these. So I can't wait, and I'm really counting on you. I'm praying that we can hear from you. So everybody who calls in next Wednesday will get a book off our Faith Radio shelf. I'm going to give away a bunch of Christmas candy bars, and then two of you will win beautiful gift basket, like a $70 gift basket with a bunch of good Christmas goodies. Just can't wait for that day. So if you need more information, it's on our website, myfaithradio.com, right on the homepage, landing page. And if you want to sign in and let us know what you're doing, that is extremely helpful for us too. Again, that's on our website, myfaithradio.com. Okay, I don't want to waste another minute. Let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Dee Breston's a Bible teacher, writer, and speaker with a blog and a weekly Bible study that is one of the most active on the internet. Her books include The Friendships of Women, which has sold more than 1 million copies, and Falling in Love with Jesus, which she wrote with Kathy Tricoli. She's been a frequent guest on Moody Radio and Focus on the Family, and she speaks annually at many conferences. You can learn more about her on the web at dbreston.com. Dee, welcome. So glad to have you in studio.
Well, it's so fun to finally be here in person. I just love being here on your beautiful campus.
Wow. And it really, we're so blessed. We really are with the facilities here. And you've been a favorite on the show, so it's just a treat to have you with us in studio. Yeah, she's as cute as you can imagine. So as you know, we've had you on three times before. We start out talking scripture, and this time you chose Luke 1, verses 36, 37. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Do you talk about why you chose that verse?
Well, I think we often begin the Christmas story with Luke 2.
Yeah.
But there is so much in the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And I really believe, Susie, that God chose Elizabeth to be Mary's mentor, that he handpicked her. And that one of the reasons I think he handpicked her is because she trusted God when God didn't make sense. And there were going to be so many times when God would not make sense. And we know she was barren, If we go back to Luke 1:7, it's very interesting because we're told that Elizabeth and Zechariah were righteous in the sight of the Lord, and yet they had no children.
Which would make them appear judged before God, right?
Exactly,
in that culture.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But in the English, there's these two B words, blameless and barren. And if I put these together, I find a lot of theology. Because often we feel that when sorrow comes into our life, that God is angry with us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he is, because we do reap what we sow. But it is also possible, according to this passage, to be blameless and barren.
Mm.
And those are the hard times to trust God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that Elizabeth thought, you know, Lord, I'd be a good mom. I'm trying to live for you. Why aren't you hearing my prayers? And yet she chose to trust him. And this makes her a beautiful mentor.
Mm.
One of my favorite definitions of a mentor comes from Wynn Couchman, and I know you'll understand it up here in the Northland. If you've ever been driving at night in a blizzard, what will rescue you is the twin taillights of a car in front of you. And I think that's what a mentor is, someone who's a little bit ahead of you, gives you light to go where you need to go, and is keeping you from going in the ditch. And I think Elizabeth did that for Mary in many ways. It's a beautiful, beautiful friendship. I think God led these two women together in friendship.
That is amazing. And that word, it's possible to be blameless and barren. I believe with everything in me, Dee, that right now is a word that just as the baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb, I think that word is leaping in somebody's spiritual womb. I believe it because I hear from so many people. And in fact, I have certain things in my own life where I feel like, why is that land barren? I sowed seeds, Lord. What happened, you know? And so maybe speak to that person listening today who is blameless and barren. It never occurred to them because they were still asking the question, have I missed something here?
Right.
What can you say to them?
You know, I just recently shared this at a friendship retreat. And there were two women there. One of them was an adoptive mother, and with her was the birth mother. And I said, sometimes God has a plan you cannot see. And that's just so hard to understand at the time, but later you can see it. And I just saw these two women clasp hands and the tears come to their eyes because they knew that was true in their lives. God had a plan for them. And all I can say to that woman who is hurting, God has a plan. He loves you. He sees you. And later on, you know, Elizabeth says, the Lord has done this for me. And the words in the Greek have the idea of he saw me. He's seen me all along, kind of like Hagar when she said, I see the God who sees me. He sees you. He has a plan. This is not plan B.
And it's not the end of the story.
It's not the end of the story. And I think that we need to really get there in the evangelical church to understand that bad things can happen to good people, and God has a plan to turn them into beautiful things.
Oh, that's so important. We try to bring that message to the forefront pretty regularly on this show.
That's
because
good.
Suffering is such a reality, and will be increasingly so, I think, in the days to come.
I think
and we're
that's
such
true.
Formulaic people that we try to do the math. And you know, if I do good, I get good. And if you're not getting good, you must have not done good. You
right.
know, and how painful. I mean, it's like heaping a load on the already suffering person.
Right.
You know, it's cruel, really.
It
you know?
Really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
But for the person who's suffering, to know you won't stay there. You won't live there. You pass through the valley of the shadow. And there'll
right.
be a season where you'll sing again. That's so important to know, too. You know?
It really is.
Mm. Well, you're no stranger to pain. Maybe give us a little backstory, not only on your faith journey, but how this theology became a reality for you.
Yes. You know, I think that when my husband got colon cancer, my immediate reaction, because I have had, it's getting smaller, a very big control idol. I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I am going to get my whole prayer list of people, wonderful people to pray. And I am going to fast. And we are going to stay in the light. And God is going to heal my husband. But you know, you can't arm wrestle God. And I had to come to the point where I realized that he was in charge and I was not. And that if he took my husband home, it wasn't necessarily because of either of our sin, even though we were both sinful, but because he had a plan we couldn't see. And that, in fact, that really good things could come from this, though it was really hard to believe at the time. And that taking my husband home had nothing to do with him punishing me for my sin. There were times in my deepest grief, Susie, when I thought, you know what, I deserve this. I am an idiot. I fail all the time. Mm. And I remember I was watching, Tim Keller has a series on the evidence for God. And he said, when suffering comes into a believer's life, it is never because Jesus, God, is punishing you, because Jesus took that at the cross.
He's not a punitive God, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought, I knew that, but you know, you need to hear it again, mm-hmm. because we keep losing our grasp on the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a plan. It's hard to see. I argued with him. I said, there's so many lousy husbands and doctors and fathers out there. Take one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But often his ways just are not our ways, but it will make sense one day. As you said, it's not the end of the story.
Yeah.
For Elizabeth and Zachariah, it certainly wasn't the end of the story.
Isn't that the truth? Well, we've got four copies of Dee's book, Idle Lies, Facing the Truth About Our Deepest Desires. I feel like she said something that is just so important here, that it is possible to be blameless and barren. And we're just going to take a slight turn of the show just for a moment here. We're going to get back on track with some of the questions and how even idols weave into our whole Christmas celebration. But I just want to give a moment to just offer some ministry to you. If you're listening and you have been wondering what in the world has happened, why is this land barren? I thought I was seeking hard after God, and none of us can say that we do this perfectly, and that's the inroad for the enemy, right?
Right,
bring accusation.
Exactly.
And but we want to pray with you, and we've got four copies of Dee's book to give away. And if you want to be anonymous, that's okay. But if you feel like, I'm so sincerely walking with God, and this land is barren, I'm devastated, but I need some perspective, give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Before we kind of get into just unpacking the whole idols in Christmas time, how did you find your way back to joy again after the death of your husband?
One of the things that Martin Lloyd-Jones has said, and he was not only a theologian but a medical doctor, is that the problem that Christians get into is that they listen to their souls instead of speaking to their souls.
Mm. That's good.
And I would listen to my soul, and I'd think, how can I go on without the love of my life? How are our girls going to make it? I do not think I'm going to ever be able to have any joy again. I had to stop it and start speaking the truth to my soul. And the thing that helped me the most, I think, were the hymns that are so laden with scripture, like Be Still My Soul, which is full of scriptural promises. And begin to speak those to my soul. I also learned the value of the lament. There are more psalms of lament than any other genre in the Psalms. And a lament is when you tell God what you are really feeling, and then there's kind of a pause. And what usually happens in a lament is then God speaks to you about his character, his promises, so you can hold on. And intriguingly, Susie, there are some Christmas carols that are a lament, which I think is wonderful. We think of just Christmas carols as being joy to the world, and deck the halls, but there are many that have a lament, because I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel at Christmas there are greater highs and greater lows.
No doubt about it. Some of our worst pain happens over the holidays.
Right.
And I think the look of everybody else's celebration creates such a gap between how we're really feeling and how it appears everybody else's. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you may be missing that husband or that child for the first Christmas. And it can be a very painful time. And so I think it's wonderful that God, through the artistry of his children, has provided some carols that our laments.
And we're going to play one of those in just a moment. You know, 2 years ago, December 23rd, my youngest son got engaged, and on that same day learned that my dad had stage 4 lung cancer, and they said he had 6 months to live, and he was gone in a week and a half.
Wow.
And he died so fast. And, you know, holidays just, you know, and my mom, I just talked to her the other day, and she goes, oh, I miss him. And I think that the holidays do bring up that sense of loss, don't they? And mom, if you're listening, I love you. And let's hear this song. This is one that Dee chose. We're going to play a few songs today throughout our conversation. Before we play it, Matt, real quick, tell why you like the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day.
This is a really classic lament song. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote it after his wife was killed in a fire and his son was injured in the Civil War. And it begins, if you listen, with his honest lament, his despair. He hears the bells and he says, but there is no peace on earth. And then there's a pause, and then it's like the Spirit of God begins to speak to him. And instead of just listening to his soul, he starts speaking to his soul. But God is not dead, nor doth he speak. And I just think it's a wonderful example of a Christmas carol lament.
Thank you for setting that up, Dee. Let's hear Stephen Curtis sing, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day.
For hate is strong and mocks the song.
beautiful. That was Stephen Curtis Chapman. I'm in studio here with Dee Bruston. She's the author of the book, Idle Lies, Facing the Truth About Our Deepest Desires. And we were talking just about the journey, especially during the holidays, and how grief can really be an ever-present companion, and sometimes not a welcome one. But you're even saying that we can kind of embrace that grief and find Jesus right in the midst of it. Say more about that.
To know that God sees and wants to hear your heart. Philip Yancey said that when he first started praying the Psalms, people told him to go to the Psalms when he felt low or sad. And he said, I'd come to one of the frostiest Psalms and go away thoroughly depressed. But then he realized that the Psalms is not like the other books in the Bible. It's a prayer journal. And that because life is bipolar, the Psalms are bipolar, with great highs and great lows. And it gives us permission to tell the truth to God. He is not angry when we tell him the truth. What he hated was hypocrisy. And so he wants intimacy, and you cannot have intimacy with someone unless you have honesty. So it is okay to say, Lord, I feel so lonely at Christmas. I am missing my husband. I feel like everybody is decking the halls, and I'm just sitting here alone, and I am sad, and I do not feel you with me. He is not angry when you do that, because that opens a dialogue with him. And usually in the Psalms of Lament, then the Spirit will come to you and help remember you. Help remember, this isn't the end of the story. I think it's really important to be able to do that.
How have you found joy in the holidays? As, you know, with each year that passes, I'm sure that you realize every year he's not here. I mean, that comes up for you. But how do you find those moments of joy so that you can celebrate and embrace what it is God has given you in this day?
You know, I want to share. It's been 9 years since Steve died. But I really do have joy, and I want to give hope to those who've lost somebody, that I, because of desperation, had to press so much harder into the Lord, which is what grief will do. And I have a more intimate relationship with him. I really do feel like I'm experiencing real Christmases. This will be my first Christmas without my children coming home. It's their turn to go to the other side. But I'm going to be fine. I'm going to spend some time at a nursing home doing a program, and I'm going to be great. I sense the Lord with me, and I sense his pleasure with me. And in sorrow, I can sense him with me, just like when I am sad, I know I can tell him and he cares. And when I'm overflowing with joy, I want to be thankful. I do think that there's hope, that it doesn't have to be a continuing going through the river of grief. You really can get to the other side. Yes, you'll always hurt. You'll always miss them. But I want to give them hope.
And he is near to the brokenhearted.
He is.
You know, it seems like whatever loss we encounter, I feel like you just feel him move in that much more. I remember when my dad died, one of our precious listeners emailed me and said, he's a father to the fatherless. And it almost took my breath away. I thought, my dad is gone, but the Lord is near.
He's your father.
Yeah, he's my father. Right. And I really just was like,
that's a truth that spoke to your soul, Susie. A year ago, that horrible thing happened at Sandy Hook with those children. And some of those families are studying my book, The God of All Comfort. And they have written me and said, you know, it helps so much to understand the lament and to understand how to speak to my soul with these promises. I will see my child again, and that justice will be done. God is not dead. You know, it helps much more than listening to your soul.
Boy, that's so good. Talking to Dee Bruston today. Again, title of her book is Idle Lies, Facing the Truth About Our Deepest Desires. We've got 4 copies to give away. Maybe you want to chime into the conversation, or you've got a question for our guest today. Now is the time to ask. I only want to open the phone lines for a little bit. I want to give Dee as much time as possible. 877-933-9333. 2484 877 933 2484. Otherwise, you can email me at Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Email your question or your comment, and we'll get it on the air. The first four I hear from, you get the book, all right? When we come back, we're going to talk about Christmas, keeping Christ in the center of this Christmas holiday. Do not go away. We'll be right back. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. In studio joining me today is Dee Breston, best-selling author. This book, Idle Lies, Facing the Truth About Our Deepest Desires, phenomenal book. Just saw a tweet come across that there was a shooting at Arapahoe High School in Colorado. Mm-hmm. That was minutes from where we used to live. We lived in Colorado for about a year. And wondering if, you know, speaking of suffering, see, this suffering happens in this world until Jesus comes back to make things right. In this world, we will have trouble. Mm-hmm. Wondering, Dee, if you wouldn't mind just praying for the families impacted by whatever happened at that high school.
Okay. Oh, Father, we just lift up this situation in Colorado. We ask, Lord, for your mercy. We ask that you'd be with those who are trying to bring order out of this, and that you would bring protection and comfort, whatever it is that has happened, Lord. Lord, we know the enemy is prowling, and yet we ask for you to bring comfort. We know that you are greater than the one that is in the world. That is so clear here at Christmas, but it does seem like the enemy often gets to prowling right at these holy times. And we ask for your help. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, this is, again, a little off topic, but I'm just charging Christians, if we need to be on the wall as believers, because in a day when the love of most grows cold, you know, wicked plots are being planned behind the doors constantly. Yeah. And so as we, as believers, Lord, put a firewall between the wicked and the weak and the wicked and the vulnerable. I mean, imagine the wicked acts that could be foiled if we're all just praying for the vulnerable and the unsuspecting people.
Good.
Lord, help
good,
us.
Mm,
wow. Okay, so talk about O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. This is another one that you chose. Tell us why that one was so close to your heart.
You know, I love that one. The actual tune was originally a funeral tune.
Really?
The verse part. And then the bridge to the rejoice was added later. It wasn't just Israel that was waiting in all this silence for 400 years. Each of us needs to prepare our heart for the Christ child. And I did O Come, O Come, Emmanuel on the first Sunday of Advent on my blog, and I talked about now's the time to get things right with other people. And I talked about how to do an effective apology. And now is the time to be at peace, peace on earth. And it should begin with us, that when our brother has anything against us, we need to go to him. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel is all about how we want the love and the joy and the hope of Christmas to come. They feel in the verses of O Come, Emmanuel dark and frightened and like the world is dark, but then there is that bridge to the hope, which is so typical of a lament. You share your honest feelings, but then you remember the hope. Rejoice, rejoice.
Loving that, speaking to our soul.
You know?
But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Let's hear Nicole C. Mullen sing, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you. until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Oh, come thou. Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them a victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Powerful. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I love how God leads these shows to take on a flavor of their own. And this really one is just turning out to be that if you're suffering, if you're in a barren place, if you're grieving and you're right in the midst of the holidays, God loves you. He is with you. He will not forsake you. And you will smile again. You'll find joy again. In fact, Dee Breston joins me in studio, an amazing author, speaker. I love this woman. And I was telling her off the air that every time she speaks, I feel like the truth of God in and through her cuts through all the stuff that gets in the way. And the title of her book is Idle Lies, Facing the Truth About Our Deepest Desires. If you want to send me an email or give a call, we've got three copies left. I've got one copy going to Jerry. She just emailed me and listen to what she says, Dee. Thank you again for another wonderful program, Susie. I lost my husband just 3 months ago from a very horrible and rare brain disease. Just This is my first Christmas without him in 33 years. Oh, he was the one who always put up the tree and lights and left the rest of the decorating for me. So this year we're treeless. I will now need to find new traditions with my four children and three grandkids. Mm. But God will guide because he has promised to be a husband to the widow. Mm. And like you said, a father to the fatherless and grandfatherless. We continue pressing on for God's glory and for our good. Thank you for your ongoing encouragement and that of your wonderful guests through your program. Jerry, we are thinking about you. Want to say anything to Jerry as a woman who knows?
Jerry, that's so great. I so identify. I share my prayer journal in the God of All Comfort, and I talk about my first Advent without Steve and how I went to a Christmas party that we'd always gone to an office party, and I got up to the window. I was ready to go in. I had my cookies. I was ready, and I saw all those couples, and I turned and I fled. I couldn't do it. Mm. But it is better. It does get better. And what I like that you're doing, Jerry, is you're speaking to your soul instead of listening to your soul. So I do believe you will get through this river of grief, but it is hard, and it's okay to tell the Lord how hard it is.
Mm, indeed. Mm, Jerry, thank you. You're going to get a copy of these book. Well, let's talk about this Christmas holiday. I mean, I love the holiday. I just love the idea where you can go into the mall and hear songs about Jesus.
Yes.
I love random acts of kindness and giving to those who can't give back, you know. But also, it is easy to get caught up in the commercialism, even as believers, where maybe an idol creeps in. And I don't want to overthink this, but I do think it's important to make the distinction, Dee, if you would, for us. How do we know if we've crossed the line and Jesus has gotten lost in the shuffle of it all?
Yeah. You know, there's a phrase in It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, which I don't know if we'll get to hear
or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where it says that the angels hover over the babble sounds of the earth. And I think of the babble sounds of Christmas. You know, the Tower of Babel was when men built a tower to try to make a name for themselves. And sometimes Christmas can feel so much like that, that we're out giving to make a name for ourselves or out decorating or out cooking or whatever. And to just find that quiet angel singing and to be with him in the midst of it. And how do we know if an idol is rearing its head? Well, one of the things that I have learned is that whenever anything bad comes out of your mouth or your life, an idol is operating.
Wow.
And I share in Idolize how I was completely blind to my idol of control. All I knew was that I kept losing administrative assistance, and I thought it was their fault. But God awakened me through a friend, Jan Silvius, who said, when I complained that the fourth administrative assistant had left, she said, seems to be a pattern in your life.
That you got to love those friends, you know? Seriously, they're hard to, I mean, but it's what a gift, you know?
And then through a sermon on Martha the Manipulator in the story of Mary and Martha of Bethany and how she made sideways comments and guilt trips. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? And I realized I had that habit. And Susie, just recently, I mean, I have asked forgiveness of all my administrative assistants, but I have come into such a sweet relationship with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, one of my ex-administrative assistants, Christy, she's also a realtor, sold my house. And we've just gotten so close. And I asked her again, I said, just forgive me for all those sideways comments and all the ways I tried to control you. And she said, oh, it's so forgiven. I said, I look back and I think about our last trip together. I was speaking in Germany, and it could have been a wonderful time, but I just had this cloud over us because I was thinking of all the things you did wrong, and now I hardly see anything you do wrong. Mm. So it was me.
Mm.
It was me. And here we are facing the holidays. You're going to be with those relatives. Some of them rub you wrong. But what if you cut out all the sideways comments, all the attempts to fix them, and just love them? I remember one time I was going to be with a relative that I have a hard time with, and my youngest daughter said, Mom, it's not enough not to say mean things. You have to be nice to her.
Boy, you raised her right.
And, you know, I started just heaping love on this person, and our relationship has really changed.
Wow.
Our sad divisions do need to cease.
Yeah. And in the day when the love of most will grow cold, this is something we have to wrestle with and walk in, you know? And that, again, is another really important word, because I know for me, like when I'm not that great in the kitchen. I have a few meals I can do okay and a couple kinds of cookies, but I'm nothing to sing about. And so when I try to go beyond what my grace level is, and then I get snarky, well, who's being blessed by that? And so I know that I have to stay within the grace. I want to give sacrificially, yeah, but I can give sacrificially in other ways that don't kill me, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm not afraid to ask people, can we all chip in? You each bring the thing you're good at.
And,
but I think there might be a cloud. Someone's listening and realizing they're playing Keeping Up with the Joneses. Their celebration has to be such that their kids are having to scatter because mom is so crabby. And is that what we want them to remember? And so maybe give a word of encouragement to, because then there's an idol. That's how you know there's an idol there. Your idol.
Something bad is coming out of your mouth.
Yes, you've got some idolatry going on,
right,
about what your house looks like versus who you're going to enjoy. Maybe say a word about that.
Well, I will say that idols cannot be removed. They can only be replaced by Jesus. And as you find time in this Advent to spend time with him, his love will pour out of you toward those difficult people. And Susie, I think that's so great to assess our giftings and say, I've been staying with my friend Carol Gangwish, and she is an amazing hostess. Chocolates at my bed, water at my bed. You know, an amazing fresh salmon meal last night. And I began to think, can I do this? And I thought, no, I can't.
Mm. I can eat your chocolate and salmon.
But I can love on people.
That's right.
I mean, we all have our own giftings where we can love. So find that gifting and love on people.
Yeah. See, look at how that's working together. Carol's sitting here so sweetly smiling at every word you say. But she's shoring you up so that you can do your thing and bring a gift to 250 women tomorrow. I mean, really, isn't that a beautiful thing?
That is.
It's wonderful. I'll be over next weekend, Carol. All right. We're going to hear this last song, and it is from our good friend. Sarah Groves is a good friend of the show and a good friend of ours, and has been in studio before, so we love that we're playing.
Oh.
And you requested her rendition.
Well, yes, and as you listen, as you get into the second and third verse, because we don't think of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear as a lament. I want you to hear the lament.
Okay, let's hear it.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bailing near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Unfurled, and still the heavenly music float
I'm glad you picked Sarah's rendition. That's amazing.
Oh, she does a wonderful job. And you just look at those words. I think about my husband at the end of his life. He was still in his 50s, but painful steps and slow, who toiled along the climbing way. And then just rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. You know, I can remember him just standing out by the tree in front of Green Bay when it was near the end in his bathrobe. But I know he was looking forward and he was hearing the angels sing despite all the pain. Mm. And I still hear the angels sing, even though I am a widow. And I want people who are hurting to hear the angels sing and to know there's hope and to know that this is really true.
Yeah.
That we have a Savior who came to give us peace. And this is not the end of the story.
Such powerful words, Dee, and I've been saying this all week, and I think it is so important for those, especially who are suffering, that we're not celebrating the celebration. And if we celebrate just the celebration, that's when pride or despair come up, because everybody else either does it better or not as well as us.
Exactly.
We celebrate the Savior,
and
that's especially, it's important for everybody, but those who are suffering, then everybody else's glorious presentation won't mock your pain as much when you know it's Jesus who came to seek and save the lost, and he's with us.
That's so
and the
good.
Angels are singing, right?
You know, I think that's so good, and if I've just got a minute, one of the things that impresses me about Mary and Elizabeth is that Elizabeth could have been jealous. She's just carrying John the Baptist. Mary's carrying the Messiah.
Mm.
But she knew God had a plan for her. So maybe your house isn't as beautiful.
Wow,
and your cooking not as good. But God's got a plan for you and your gifting, and you can be a blessing this Christmas with whatever you have.
Boy, that's good. Got another email here. See if I can read it. I'm just so weepy today here. What a mixed blessing to hear today's show. I delivered our second daughter, stillborn, this April. Mm. It's been difficult 8 months, and Christmas Day will mark 37 weeks without her. She was delivered at 37 weeks. December's been so hard on me with Christmas and scrounging to find joy amidst my sorrow. I'm touched to be able to hear today's show and the message it's had for me, especially the message on lamenting and Christmas carols that include that. Thank you for following the Lord's leading today. And Val, bless you. I'm going to make sure you get a book of these. So, wow. I love how the Lord leads. That is why we pray before. And it's always interesting where he takes us, you know. One last question before we wrap up and pray. You said oftentimes idols can look positive, and that's why they're easy to miss. And say just a word about that before we wrap up.
Right. Well, you know, you look at Mary of Bethany, and I think her idol might have been control and that she was trying to fix everything, or it might have been approval. She wanted to be the Martha Stewart. And that looks good, putting on a great feast for the master. But because of the bad fruit coming out of her life, that is the red flag. So if you've got a great dinner and a well-decorated house, but there's bad fruit coming out, then you need to be aware that there's something not so good there.
Mm. And yet the change is a prayer way. Get on your knees, you know.
Yes.
Go look at that little nativity scene and look at how low,
how
you know what I mean?
He
invites us to go, right?
Right.
To humble ourselves.
That's so good.
I mean, the wisdom it takes for even those who came and bowed before this baby, they had a foresight of another realm. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. They had eyes to see.
Mm. You know, eternity, the veil between earth, you know, between the here and now and the there and then seems so thin to me lately. I just...
Mm.
Yeah, I think his coming is, well, obviously it's nearer than we know, I think. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. we need to live with eternity in mind.
Yes.
Well, as we wrap up, Dee, this has been a treasured time, and I just celebrate the gift of God in you. Appreciate your contribution to the kingdom, really.
I celebrate it in you. I do. Mm. We got 30 seconds?
Yes.
Okay, here's Lucy Shaw's poem, Salutation, which is about Elizabeth's baby leaping in the womb. Framed in light, Mary sings through the doorway. Elizabeth's six-month joy leaps, a palpable greeting, a hidden first encounter between son and son. And my heart turns over when I see Jesus in you.
Mm, thank you. Would you pray for that person grieving who's listening today?
Mm.
Thank you.
Lord, we've heard from those who've lost children and husbands. We've heard about a shooting in Colorado. Father, you are the God of all comfort. I pray you will bring comfort, that you'll bring your words of promise to their remembrance, that they will sense your comfort around their shoulders and in the love of other believers. You do come to bring peace, Father, and I pray that you will bring peace that passes understanding to these hearts that are so hurting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dee Breston, bless you, and thanks for joining us today.
Christmas. They're hanging all the lights on the main street square. People are smiling everywhere. Trees up in the windows, frost on the glass. Christmas is here now.
Wow, thanks so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on your website at myfaithradio.com. Make sure you share this one with a friend, especially one who might be suffering this holiday season. They'll find some real encouragement from Dee Breston today. Tune in tomorrow if you can for the weekend edition of Live the Promise. I'll be talking to Pastor Daniel Brown about what it means to live in God's amazing grace. Well, I'm going to finally leave you with this thought. You hear it every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.